Wall fans, common censors, podcast consumers, welcome to another very exciting edition of not Common Sense Sundays, but Go Tell It to the Wall. This is episode 129. That's right. We've been on a slight hiatus here, which we'll get into in just a moment. And as you can tell, this isn't actually a Common Sense Sundays episode. It is Wednesday. It is the day before Thanksgiving. Therefore, we are back to our usual Go Tell It to the Wall format. I'm going to talk a little bit about that in just a moment, but before we get there, we always kick things off with our social plugs. You can keep up with us during episodes, after episodes, for episodes, and whenever you so please, and you can do that in multiple locations. One of those would be facebook.com/gotellittothewall. That's right, facebook.com/gotellittothewall. That's our official Facebook page. Make sure you're following that page for all updates regarding Common Sense Sundays and Go Tell It to the Wall. And of course, our official YouTube channel, which is youtube.com/gotellittothewall, youtube.com/gotellittothewall. And don't forget my own personal Instagram account, which is at SoCalSean, S-O-C-A-L-S-E-A-N, at SoCalSean. That's where you're going to find a lot of photography pertaining to Go Tell It to the Wall, as well as our concert recaps and all that good stuff. And if you don't remember any of those things, just remember SeanOrourkeLive.com. That is your one-stop shop for anything and everything that is Go Tell It to the Wall, Common Sense Sundays, and me personally, Sean O'Rourke. You're also going to find links to those social platforms I just mentioned. In addition to that, you're going to find exclusive content. In addition to that, you're going to find a link to our Patreon campaign. Please help us out financially if you see fit to do so. Every little bit helps keep this studio running, helps Go Tell It to the Wall continue to expand and bring in new concepts, new guests, new episodes, all that good stuff. And if you don't want to do that, but you still want to support us, you can pick up some merch, some Common Sense merch through our merch website, which links directly from SeanOrourkeLive.com. All right. Now that we're through that, as I mentioned, we haven't been around for a few weeks here, and this is a common theme yearly, and especially got a little crazier last year with the addition of Punk in the Park. It is what I like to call the November Gauntlet, and that starts with Punk in the Park, then of course, my child's birthday. She turned 6 this year, and then my birthday, which happened to be a bit of a milestone for those of you that know me personally. You know what I'm talking about. I'm not going to give my age out here, although it's pretty obvious. Although, shout out to the few people that the weeks leading up to my birthday were like, what are you, 30? Maybe 35 at the most? I was like, yes, very much so. And then that, of course, culminates with Thanksgiving. And that's kind of where we are right now. Not kind of. It is where we are right now. Something that occurred to me today is that we've recorded an episode every night before Thanksgiving, like since our inception. And for those of you not familiar with it, when we had the original Go Tell It to the Wall format, we recorded an episode, went live quite a bit on Thursday nights. So the very first Thanksgiving that we were recording Go Tell It to the Wall, we said, I'm not going to do it on Thanksgiving. So we did it the night before. And then the next year, and then the next year, and then the next year. And even last year, we did, I believe it was episode probably 127, because we did an official Go Tell It to the Wall for our holiday. So it's funny how I had kind of overlooked that aspect of things. We always do anniversary episode. We do a holiday episode, a Halloween episode. We've done the big anniversary episodes like Centibration. But this actually is a strange, normal staple of Go Tell It to the Wall, and I'm glad we are able to continue it this year, despite me being exhausted from the previously mentioned November Gauntlet that happens in the O'Rourke house. Included in that is my wife leaving for a week while my daughter, and now it's the week leading up to Thanksgiving break. It's kind of crazy at my daughter's school, all kinds of crazy stuff going on, activities and everything else, and it's just madness. I didn't even have time to get into the studio much last week, despite having my studio back. So that was it's always a challenge, I should say. So we can call this our annual Thanksgiving episode. I want to caveat that with we at Go Tell It to the Wall are fully aware of kind of the origins of Thanksgiving, and I've said this in the past, I will say it again. We're not here supporting the origins of Thanksgiving, for lack of a better phrase. What we are supporting is the opportunity to get together with family, have some drinks. You know, hopefully you enjoy your family, so it's not terrible. If you don't enjoy your family, you know, take an hour off and go listen to this episode of Go Tell It to the Wall if you need a little break from the family drama. But this is the time to do that. And then in my house, we start the Christmas decorating on Friday. Get up with a parade on Thursday. Just eat all day. Have some drinks. Get up Friday and start decorating the house. So happy Thanksgiving to everyone out there. I'm enjoying it because, like I said, it's been a long couple of weeks. And the other good thing about the Thanksgiving episode, or night before Thanksgiving episode, is, of course, beer in the studio. And I actually brought one of these in because, you know, my birthday party was last weekend. And, of course, people know me well, so they brought me lots and lots of tasty, fancy microbrews and stuff. And this one is Bunny with a Chainsaw. It's a double dry-hopped hazy India Pale Ale and IPA from Paperback Brewing. Despite it being a double, it's only 8.2. But it's super smooth and super tasty. I've had a lot of dry hop that don't come across as smooth. This one is definitely on the smoother side when it comes to a dry hopped, especially a double IPA. So highly recommend if you can get your hands on some of that. I've actually got a couple of other brews of theirs sitting in my garage right now from last weekend. So I'm enjoying the Bunny with a Chainsaw, and we'll have to try out the others, I guess, as we work through the holidays here. That's what I said. I was like, oh, well, now I've got lots of tasty beer for the upcoming holidays here, because fortunately and unfortunately, my birthday is right before Thanksgiving. It gets overlooked, but then a lot of times people are in town, which is also good. Now I'm at an age where it doesn't matter if people are in town, but when I was in my 20s and people are traveling, you know, back to San Diego for Thanksgiving and stuff, I would travel down to San Diego for Thanksgiving and kind of be able to celebrate my birthday with friends that lived out of town. Now, like, I've, you know, everybody, you hit a certain age where people aren't coming back from college anymore, let alone, you know, maybe and possibly not even traveling to similar locations for Thanksgiving. All right, now that we've got that, and I got to say, it's great to be back. I really hanker to get into the studio during those few weeks, but we're not missing Punk in the Park. I got stuff for my daughter's birthday. We're gonna talk about that weekend gauntlet that I had, and then of course, especially this year, wanted to spend some extra time celebrating my own birthday. All right, let's get into some digital trends here. That's right, some digital trends. Fake verified Twitter accounts. If you've been on Twitter at all, even if you're just on other social platforms, because I see this stuff popping up like on Facebook and stuff, screenshots and everything else, and these fake verified Twitter accounts. And without getting into too many details on it, you know, good old Musk there, Elon, took over Twitter. We talked about it a few weeks ago. Started cleaning house, firing people, all this other stuff. And he's really just trolling. $44 billion to troll a bunch of people on a social media platform. And one of the things he did was make it so that you could pay to be verified. For those of you not familiar with verified, you get that little blue check mark next to you. The purpose of that was so that you knew you were following an actual celebrity or politician or musician, whatever it might be, as opposed to fake accounts that pop up. If you've been on any social media platform, you see fake accounts pop up, and it's, you know, it's somebody else doing it, and you might think, oh my gosh, Kevin Smith sent me a friend request. But then you see they're not verified, and you're like, no, it's not Kevin Smith. That's just somebody using Kevin Smith's photos. And so what happened was people started paying. They paid the $8, and they got their blue check, and then they would change their Twitter account name to, like, a company name, which was pretty wild. And the one creating so much confusion, and in a way, it's pretty funny, because some of them were like, okay, well, this is kind of ridiculous, you know, obvious. But there was one in particular, a tweet, somebody impersonated Eli Lilly, the pharmaceutical company, and said that insulin was going to be free from now on through the company. Their stock actually took a bit of a nosedive because people thought it was real. So as much as I'm not for impersonating other people, that is one way to prove a point, is what I got to say here. And maybe Eli Lilly take note of that and know that people really only buy in stock in you because you overcharge for pharmaceuticals and medicines. Oh, and there's plenty of others out there. I mean, it's impersonating politicians, all kinds of crazy stuff. And we'll see where I'm enjoying the downfall of Twitter. I understand a lot of people aren't. I'm just kind of watching the car crash. It's like, give me the popcorn. And in fact, everyone's been on Twitter saying, goodbye, Twitter's done. And sharing links to other social platforms. They're like, hey, if you need to find me, you can find me on Facebook or and whatever this Hive stuff is, Instagram. You know, they're putting all their links up there because they're really counting on the end of Twitter here. And to me, and I get it. I wouldn't argue with anybody because I kept saying, everyone's like, the world is ending. This dude, it's one social platform. But then I did see people that have made friends on there, and it's like, okay, I get it, but it's also like not the end of the world. You made friends on there, exchange an email address, for God's sake. You can stay in touch that way. There's always ways to stay in touch. But apparently we're watching the end of Twitter as it dies a, I don't even want to say slow death. Musk hasn't even owned it for that long, and it's already like, oh boy, letting everybody back on the platform and stuff. And it really is just, it's just a muckraking social platform. That's, I get on there and I just kind of laugh. I'm like, oh my God, I don't even bother interacting with people most of the time, unless they're friends, you know, then I'm interacting, but I'm not interacting with random people on Twitter. It's just not really my steez, I got to tell you. All right. Catholic has been trending on Twitter. If you remember a few months ago, this was trending, or God, maybe even like a year ago, Catholic was trending. And what happened was bishops across the United States were refusing to give communion to politicians such as Nancy Pelosi and Joe Biden because of their stance on women's reproductive rights. And if you remember when we talked about this a while ago, the Pope Francis came out and said, you cannot withhold communion from politicians based on this. Well, it's coming up again because bishops have again come out and said, no, we're not going to give communion and blah, 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 blah. It's also wild that Catholic is trending because I always talk about this. And in fact, if you go to YouTube, there is a years old video about Catholic Church hypocrisy. That's what we're looking at here. Catholic Church hypocrisy. They embrace the orange menace who has cheated on wives and sleeps with strippers and has been married multiple times. That's a problem. That's not a problem, but women having reproductive rights is a problem in their eyes. It's utterly ridiculous. There's such division in the Catholic Church right now. And the funny thing is they've done surveys among people who are in the Catholic Church, and many of them are actually in support of a woman's right to choose what is best for her own body. So we're looking at a minority of leaders that are just sticking to the silly thing. And not silly, because it's not silly. It's silly for them to stick to it. A woman should have say over her own body, period. Shouldn't have anything to do with some old book. Shouldn't have anything to do with some old white men who've never had sex making decisions. You know, give me a fucking break. All right. And then that moves us to grooming and thoughts and prayers. These are also both trending right now. And this is the hypocrisy of the Catholic Church. We unfortunately had yet another mass shooting in Colorado. This one happened at a gay club, much like what happened in Orlando a few years ago at the Pulse nightclub. This was Club Q, I believe it's called. And it's the usual BS of thoughts and prayers. And the one that got me the most is Lauren Boebert. I can't, fucking Babs. She got reelected. I'm sitting there on election night and she was behind by a little. Oh my God, if we can stop hearing from this bitch, that'd be so fantastic. Well, no, she got reelected. She immediately comes out and says, oh, my thoughts and prayers are with the community and blah, 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 blah. If you go back and look at some of her other tweets, she calls out the LGBTQ community and calls them groomers and how terrible they are and has literally called for violence against the LGBTQ community. So I don't want to hear about your stupid thoughts and prayers bullshit, Lauren Boebert. Nobody wants to hear that. She's responsible for the rhetoric. She's not the only one, but she's one of them responsible. She's pushing this false narrative and this false rhetoric that people in the LGBTQ community are grooming children. And that's where more of the Catholic Church hypocrisy comes into. Look at the fucking Catholic Church. It's evidence and history. Based on evidence and history, we know that the Catholic Church is much more guilty of grooming than anybody in the LGBTQ community. But again, we just let this hypocrisy fly. But here, at Go Tell Us the Wall, we call it out because common sense says, shut the fuck up. Look at your own house. And in fact, here we go, wall fans. In the Bible, it says, don't look at splinter in another person's eye. Look at the plank in your own eye. It's a ridiculous book that was written by God knows who forever ago. Many things don't apply these days, but there are a few things that do apply, and that's one of them. The Catholic Church, stop speaking out against other people. Clean up your own fucking house first. Utterly astounding to me. And then, of course, we have hashtag boycott Tampax. I saw this one trending. I'm going, what the hell? Really? Why are we? This is women's menstrual products. And apparently everyone lost their minds because they have a couple of transgender spokespeople that are now working for Tampax. So everyone lost their mind and they said, we're going to boycott Tampax. The funny thing is, if you go through some tweets, the people are saying boycott Tampax, like 75% of them are not people that would be using Tampax anyway. And probably wouldn't even buy it for their own wife or daughter. So give me a fucking break with this. It doesn't affect you at all. How does it affect you at all? In fact, it's empowering for people that have been discriminated against their entire lives. That's the important thing here, but that's not the takeaway that a lot of people get from these things. Instead, they just want to be hateful. I'm kind of sick of it. I got to be honest. The evidence is there. Just look at history. I would much rather have my daughter at a drag show than at a Catholic church. That's just the way it is for me. And I stand by that. So this hateful rhetoric can continue all they want, but we have to continue to push back on it. Because that's where violence comes in. And we're going to talk about it when we get to mental health. Before we get there, hashtag bring them back. So Musk decided to open a can of worms, and that's why hashtag bring them back is trending all over Twitter. Because he was talking about reinstating all of the suspended Twitter accounts. And we've talked about some of them over the past few years. Namely, the Orange Menace. That Cobra Taint guy, or whatever the hell his name is, that's just spreading hateful stuff. Talked about bringing all of these suspended accounts back. And so people are using this hashtag, and they're listing out these accounts that just spewed hateful stuff for years. And here's the thing. Musk, you want to put them back on the platform? That's fine. That's fine. We all need to learn how to filter out the hate like that and speak out against it. We're not going to avoid it. It, like I said, it is a mud-raking hellscape of a social platform. It really is. It's just full of hate. So I don't use it much. I go on there and I get news from it with stuff that's trending. And a lot of it's sports news. Like, I got to be honest, I don't follow, on Twitter, I don't follow a lot of, like, news people, but I do follow sports people, but I'm getting factual information. You know, that's what I go there for. I'm not trying to argue with some asshole sitting in his mom's basement in Ohio who has nothing better to do but bash the LGBTQ community. It's just not in my wheelhouse. So we'll see if this hashtag bring them back actually works. Musk is such a fucking moron. It probably will work. All right, and one more thing before we move on from digital trends. And I'm laughing because this one's funny. I found this, and it might not even be that new. But we talked about the water bottle challenge, the swinging water bottle. It'd be like four people sitting and they start swinging a water bottle and they got to move their heads so they don't get smacked in the head. Well, now, as people do with these challenges, they have upped it a bit. And there have been people attaching a full water bottle to a ceiling fan, letting it spin, and then trying to avoid getting hit in the head. And the reason I bring this one up is there is actually a pretty ridiculous video. I would say don't try this at home. Don't try it at all. And then one of the videos I saw is a perfect example of why not to. This guy he started the thing, and he's in there with a female, maybe his wife or something, and he puts a blindfold on, and he just keeps getting rocked in the head, like, poof, and then it goes around, poof, poof. Like, I don't know if it's concussion status, but please explain to me how getting rocked in the head by a full water bottle swinging from a fan is supposed to be fun, because I don't understand how that is fun at all. It was fun for me to watch it just because I'm sitting there going, what a fucking moron. But I don't understand how that guy was having any kind of fun just getting smacked in the face with a full water bottle. It doesn't make any sense to me. But that's the world we live in. Oh, man. I would encourage you to find that video. Just don't show your kids that video, for God's sake. Just do not try that at home. Just watch the idiots. All right, mental health. You'll notice we don't talk COVID updates during our normal Go Tell It to the Wall formatting. That is a Common Sense Sundays segment. So we're skipping right over the COVID stuff and going straight to mental health. And I want to talk about the mental toll of hateful rhetoric. And this is what I was talking about with the LGBTQ community, and especially in this. There's so much division on these things, but there's clearly one side that is prejudice. That doesn't believe everyone should have equal rights. This is obvious. We, like Lauren Boebert, does not believe everyone should have equal rights. Wants to take away same-sex marriage. Wants to take away women's health rights over their own body. What happens is this can take such a toll. And it's astounding to me because it takes a toll on me. I am a middle-aged, middle-class, white male. Heterosexual. I don't fall into these categories, yet I see this rhetoric being spewed, and it makes me feel sick to my stomach. I can only imagine how people from certain communities are feeling when they see this. And the reason I bring this up from a mental health standpoint is this is something we've known since I was a kid. This leads to self-harm and suicide because people believe they cannot be themselves. And that's why it's ridiculous how one side is just constantly spewing this prejudice rhetoric. We're going to set a record for rhetoric. I don't know if I've even ever used that word, but apparently I'm using it a lot today. But it's just hateful and it's prejudice. So what we have to do, and if you're listening to this podcast, you are probably a defender of people who have been put down throughout their lives, minorities, people of color, the LGBTQ community. Even if you're not in those communities, you need to speak up as well. Because anyone in those communities that's constantly marginalized and put down and having their rights taken away, they need to know that it's not just their community, people inside their community that support them. And even though we get this hateful prejudice from so many people out there, there are also a lot of people out there supporting. And what we do, and the reason this is important to mental health, is because by letting people know that it's okay, they're not going to rethink self-harm. They're not going to think about self-harm, suicide, any of those kinds of things. So if you have friends that you know might be struggling with, reach out to them. Friends, family, whatever it might be. And it says grooming, same-sex marriage is grooming. Constantly, we're hearing that so much now. Grooming. These people need to look to their own houses. My favorite, Lauren Boebert. Oh, they're grooming and stuff. Her husband flashed a bunch of teenage girls at a bowling alley. What's worse, a drag show that's wholesome and funny? You ever been to a drag show? They're fucking hilarious. They're meant to be funny. And it's so much fun. What's worse, that? Or some middle-aged dude flashing a bunch of teenage girls in a bowling alley in public? Make me understand it, because I don't. And that can take its toll. It takes its toll on me mentally. I can't imagine people that are receiving that hate. I receive a little bit of hate for defending it, but good Lord. I don't have to worry about violence coming against me necessarily. That's what happens to people of certain communities, and it's not acceptable. It encourages violence. That's what we had in Colorado there. This hateful speech, these words, this encourages extreme violence. And there's a crowd of people that think it's okay. So the rest of us need to be louder and make it known that it's not okay. It's not. It's really a small part of the population, but the bottom line is they are the louder part of the population, so we need to be just as loud. It's not, and that's the thing, is it causes people to shut down. It's the same thing we talk about with mental illness and why it took me so long to talk about my mental illness. Because I felt like lesser of a person because of it. And what happens is when you see this hateful rhetoric coming out from other people, it makes people feel less than normal. When in fact, it's okay to feel that way. And that can have a hell of a toll on anyone's mental health. It's not a game. It's not a game at all. And that's why you can say we're so divided on this, but one side is encouraging violence. The other side doesn't want violence, just wants equal rights. And that can take its toll. Don't let the bullies be the loudest. This is something we all should have learned in high school or before that, but unfortunately a lot of people didn't, and they just continue to be bullies, for lack of a better word. I'm telling you, man. All right, let's move on from that to some positive news. We are going to get remotely political here, which is, oh my gosh, my chair is, hang on here. There we go. My chair is hitting the desk of the studio here, and I'm like shaking everything. Had to lower that slightly. It's better, I got better headroom on the video anyway. When I haven't been in the studio for like 3 weeks, I'm like, what am I doing? Oh yeah, I gotta put this and this and this. Like, luckily I got the right episode number up there. You just never know what's gonna happen in the studio. Like, everything's madness right now. I still got decorations in the backyard. I got some balloons hanging. It's craziness in my house right now. And then I got people coming over for Thanksgiving dinner tomorrow. Luckily, not a huge crowd. Sometimes we have a huge crowd this year, just a few people. So it'll be hopefully be chill. Shout out to the owner of my wife's agency. I'm going to get tangented for a minute. She holds that agency together. So he said, you know what? I'm buying you Thanksgiving dinner this year. And I said, oh, hell yes. So there'll be a little bit of cooking involved, but we're getting a little catered Thanksgiving dinner coming in. So that'll be nice. All right, but some positive news. Like I said, we're going to get a little political, but we always get political from a common sense standpoint. And I want to talk about the mayoral race here in Los Angeles. I talked about Rick Caruso a couple times leading up to the election. Fortunately, after the election, it did take about a week because they had a lot of ballots to count here in Los Angeles. And we finally did get word that Karen Bass had defeated the, for lack of a better word, evil Rick Caruso, the rich white dude who really didn't know what the hell he was doing. So fortunately, we are going to have some good leadership here in Los Angeles. It was much closer than I would have liked. This is courtesy of people like the Kardashians. And in fact, what's her name? Katy Perry. She posted a photo of her voting from the voting booth. And you can see that she voted for Rick Caruso. And fortunately, people lost their minds. They're like, really? Really? The I Kissed a Girl song singer is voting for Rick Caruso. Okay. It's just that blindsided stuff. That's why the card, you know, that's the thing. It's rich people that were voting for Rick Caruso. They just, let's get another rich person. No. And one of the funniest things that I thought was, and it's a win for common sense, and hopefully Caruso goes away now. I don't want to hear anything from him. I mean, he's still a rich white businessman in L.A., but I don't need to see him on my TV or anything with his ridiculous false ads and all that good stuff. And the one that got me the most, and this is hilarious, for those of you not familiar, Rick Caruso owns The Grove. He built and owns The Grove, which is a it's a shopping mall, of course, but there's residences there. When they did the final tallies, he lost The Grove. He did not win the area that he owns and has people living in. So that was some good news. So hopefully some brighter days ahead here for Los Angeles. And you know, and that's the other thing. I'm going to get tangented here on positive news. I keep hearing this and people, oh, Los Angeles is a hellscape and all this other stuff. And I walk outside and I'm like, is it though? Because I'm right here. Do a little fact checking when you hear the false news about Los Angeles, because the majority of it is. Are we perfect? No, not at all. But it's not this violent hellscape that it gets portrayed as. and that's the other thing. I'll get tangented for another second here. There was a couple had gotten beat up at Dodger Stadium after last weekend after an Elton John concert. And everyone jumped on it and said, oh, it's so violent in Los Angeles at Dodger Stadium. Oh, it's so violent. And well, they had to backpedal on that because the people that beat up the older couple at Dodger Stadium were actually from Colorado. And what else just happened in Colorado? So get the fuck out of here with all that stuff. And again, look at your own city, your own house, before you start criticizing other cities. And you know what? If you think Los Angeles is a violent hellscape, then don't come here. We got enough fucking people here. Anyway, I'm good. We're all good here. I got lots of friends that love living here. We're good. We're doing just fine. All right, parenting. Oh, kids' birthday parties. Good Lord. So I had I had a mini gauntlet in the middle of the November gauntlet. Excuse me, I also completely lost my voice after Punk in the Park. So even if I tried to get into the studio like the week after, I had no voice for like 5 days. Not surprised, but I had no voice for like 5 days. It was just completely gone. I didn't have a voice going into Sunday of Punk in the Park. I was kind of like, well, I'm going to try to not talk too much. And then, of course, I just destroyed it more. But in the middle of the November gauntlet was, of course, my daughter's birthday. And her birthday was on a Friday. And we had her party on a Sunday. But on that Saturday of her birthday, she had two different birthday parties to go to. Two. We had to get up for her birthday at 10 a.m. Then she had another birthday at 2 p.m. Then we had a going away party. Shout out to the Reisenbergs who have long been big Go Tell It to the Wall supporters and patrons. They actually moved out of state. So we had a going away party for them. Fortunately, not far from our house. But then what I had to do, and I'm not going to recap this episode because we're not going to have enough time, is then I had to run out of that party, drive to Costa Mesa for OC Sellout Fest and shoot photos for Chaser down there at that. So I was just, I was like done. And then the next day was my daughter's birthday party. I got up the next morning, I'm just like, oh God, I got to get this place ready for, you know, 40 kids running around plus parents and stuff. It was madness. But that's the thing with kids' birthday parties. They're always just nuts. They're always nuts. At one point, we have a trampoline on our property. It's in the front of the house. And a couple people, a couple parents come down. I think one of them might have been my mother. And she goes, there were seven kids. And I'm not talking like a giant bounce house trampoline. It's a big trampoline. It's not a little one. She goes, there are seven kids jumping at one time in that trampoline. And I was like, is the trampoline still standing? Because I'm shocked it was able to handle that. But that's how it is for kids' parties. And they just run rampant around the house. I go in and I use the bathroom. I'm like, what, kid, what are you doing? What are you doing in my living room here? It's just mad, absolute madness. Nail polish is flying. My daughter loves to have a nail polish station. We did this painting dinosaurs thing. And I got a folding table that's now completely different colors from all the painting. And good Lord, all the kids and parents love those Uncrustables. Just absolutely madness. But it's so worth it. For the joy on the kid's face. My kid had so much fun. The kids' birthday parties that we were at, they had so much fun. The kids coming to the birthday party had an absolute blast. Shout out to my mother who makes incredible cakes and put together not one but two incredible cakes this year. Well, a cake, a bunch of cupcakes, and then a cupcake cake. And it was just an absolute blast. And now it's, I now have a six-year-old running around the house. Which is this? I said this year I was like, this is going to be the only year that I'm going to make a big deal about my birthday, because usually I'm like, no, we'll have a little gathering or whatever because our birthdays are a week apart. I was like, this is the only year that I want to actually like do something like a little bit bigger for my birthday. I was like, it's the only time it's going to line up that way, because 10 years from now, my daughter's going to turn 16, so it's like, oh, I can't compete with that. Six, yeah, that's not a big enough birthday. Oh, kids' birthday parties, man. The good thing is we just get it all out of the way. Like, hers, mine, Thanksgiving, holidays. Whew, take a breath. Until my wife in March. Tennis lessons. So I don't know how many of you parents out there can relate to this. We want our daughter to get into, try out some sports. And I talked during the summer about this summer sports camp, which I highly recommend anything similar. I talked about it where the kids got to try out multiple sports. She decided after that, and this wasn't even a sport she did at the sports summer camp. She decided tennis was the one for her. I'm going, you got to be kidding me. And the funny thing is, and I talked to another dad at the park like weeks ago about this, and we're kind of both joking. I said to my wife, I was like, do we have to join a country club? Like, how does this, tennis? I don't remember tennis. And so I have to take my daughter weekly to these tennis lessons, which I don't mind. But she's six. It's hard for her to stay engaged with tennis. She's fine in dance class. You know, they're constantly moving and stuff. But they get a tennis coach out there, and he's, you know, throwing balls from the hit and stuff. And she's looking over here and everything else. And in fact, the first tennis lesson she had, she took a tennis ball off the top of her head. And she was fine. But I think she was more embarrassed. And we almost completely were done with tennis lessons at that point. I said, no. Let's stay. You can watch. If you don't want to try again, that's fine. But let's hang out and see how you feel. She ends up, fortunately, she's a trooper. She got back to it. And again, she wasn't she wasn't hurt. If you've ever taken it. And it wasn't like Serena Williams hitting a tennis ball. Ha! No, none of that. It's like a little kid hit it up in the air and bonk, hit her on the head. You know, not a big deal. But I'm also having to learn how the hell tennis works. And I'm like, what? I know nothing about tennis. I've watched a little bit of tennis in my entire life and I know nothing about it. I don't even understand the scoring. Love and 40 and match something. I don't even know. But if she continues to like it, I'm going to have to be a tennis dad. We'll see how that goes. I was really hoping for basketball or track. I'm like, well, I know that stuff. I coached basketball. I ran a lot of track and cross country. I can help with that. I don't know what to do with tennis. Even soccer. I don't know a lot about soccer, but I'm like, kick the ball. Put it in the net, you know. I don't know. All right. Jeez, something's going on outside. I feel everyone's being like, my parents are on the way to town. It could be madness in my house any minute now. All right. This one I recommend, too. And we were so apprehensive. I know a lot of parents give their kids tablets kind of early on. And we had a tablet that my daughter would use once in a while. We let her use it like on an airplane. You know, please don't start running. I mean, she would never run up and down the aisle, but you know what I mean? Just something to distract. We decided like, hey, let's get her a kid's tablet. So we got her one of these kids' Amazon tablets. My wife did the research and got it at a good price and everything else and got it set up. And it's actually really nice because you can put these kids' restrictions on it. So you can put timing on there for games. And I'm like, oh my gosh, she's going to sit there just playing games. But the good thing is it's a lot of educational games. So you can kind of trick them into doing some math and reading as they're playing these games. And the other one was, I was a little worried because it has like Amazon Audible or, you know, something like that. Whatever the, you know, the, oh my gosh, the books you listen to, whatever that word is, audiobooks. Damn. Not like I've worked in audio for a lot of my career. Audiobooks. And today she's listening and I was like, oh, is she just sitting there staring at a tablet? But I found what she did. She was actually playing with a couple of her toys and just listening to the book. And it's like a kid's book. So I was like, oh, okay, that's fine. So I recommend that, but know that there's ways to limit the screen time, which I think is important because I don't think anybody should be staring at a screen all adult children, whatever. Nobody should be staring at a screen for hours on end. It's just not good for you. Unless you're an editor, then you have to, but that's not something I could do. I'd get like I was also that kid. I had like a Nintendo and I think we stopped at Nintendo because I wasn't super into video games, but I was never that kid that was like, I need a PlayStation and sit and playing video games for hours a day. I'd play for like 20 minutes, be like, ah, that's enough Mario Brothers. Go hop on a bike and run around the neighborhood causing trouble. All right, one more thing. Man, I apologize, Wall fans. I guess it's not fully back. Fortunately, I got this bunny with a chainsaw, hazy IPA. Keep the voice kind of going here through the episode. And that's constant stream of sweets. That is the other gauntlet that we are currently in. All parents are kind of... I think I get it a little worse because my daughter's birthday is after Halloween, whereas some parents probably get a little bit of a break because you got Halloween, then you can kind of tamp down the sweets, and then it's just, you know, holiday time. But it's a constant stream of sugar and sweets for my daughter, starting with Halloween. Then, you know, that kind of bleeds into the next weekend, then the next weekend is her birthday, and then my birthday, and there's just birthday cake and stuff, and grandma comes to town, and my mother is a very stereotypical grandmother. She's like, oh, it's come some candy and some cake and all of a sudden, Jesus Christ, ma. So this constant stream of sugar and sweets starts Halloween and goes through the holidays. And I've just kind of, to an extent, given it up to the universe. I'm still limiting it. It's not like there's a bowl of candy in her room. But anyone who's out there as a parent, you know this. And if you're not a parent now, I'm going to tell you, you pick your battles when it comes to kids. There's certain hills you don't want to die on. They're going to get damn candy anyway. You know, and that's the thing once they start going to school. And there's, of course, not only my daughter's birthday, but there's, and I will say, don't start doing math on me because my daughter came almost a month early. But there's that saying about November birthdays. I mean, mine's a November birthday too. But so there's a lot of kids in her school that have November birthdays. Obviously, we had two birthday parties in one day, the same weekend as her birthday party. And you can do the math on that, but it's just so much cake and candy and, oh God, pinatas. Good Lord. I've got pieces of multiple pinatas in my house right now. Cause apparently kids love to keep pinata parts, which I kind of had recognized before, but just, we've had a lot of pinatas at parties and stuff lately. So there's literally a Rapunzel head from a pinata from my daughter's birthday sitting in her room and I walk in there, I'm like, well, that's not creepy at all. It's just a pinata head sitting on the dresser. Good times. All right, let's talk some common sense. I got to wrap up here before my voice fully goes out. Respect for Marriage Act. That's right. This is actually a bipartisan, and I'm not going to get into all the details on it. It's a bipartisan act that is going through the government right now, which has support from both sides of the aisle. And it upholds same-sex and interracial marriage. That's what's crazy. We still are at the point where we have to ensure that interracial marriage stays legal in this country. Holy shit, man. You got to be fucking kidding me that we're doing this. We're really fucking doing this. It passed the House and the Senate, fortunately. But I would like to point out, people voted against this. This just should go to show you how politicians, most of the time, they're working for themselves, not for their constituents. They're working for themselves. We had politicians voting against upholding, and it's not like it was going to be taken away, like this, like the women's health rights have lately with the Supreme Court, and we've had to codify all that on a state level. Which, on another note, shout out to all of the states that voted to uphold women's health rights, and also the couple states that voted to not take away women's health rights. California was one of them, and that was. Don't crack me up. I looked at. They called that one like 10 minutes into election night. They're like, "Yeah, no, we've seen enough. California is definitely going to uphold the right for a woman to choose." But that's the world we live in. Politicians are out there for themselves, not for their constituents. So this is a great thing. Common sense says this should have happened anyway. But voting is public. When it comes to the federal government, I'd encourage you to see if your particular politician across the country voted against this one, because I can't see any reason why you would vote against it. But then again, I don't understand why people like the Orange Menace get elected to public office. The student debt relief fight that's going on right now, yes, we had it. It passed. The president did this well. Now we have federal judges, shockingly, appointed by the Orange Menace, who are pushing back against it. But the reason I bring this up from a common sense standpoint is people against student debt relief are pretty much the same people that just ignored the fact that a bunch of billionaires had their PPP loans just forgiven, completely forgiven. And we're talking about If you're in a certain category, you're getting 20,000, like it's 10,000. If you're in another category, you're getting 20,000 of your, these are PPP loans that were in the millions, forgiven. Hypocrisy. Their name is politics. This is the world we live in. You can't ignore one and complain about the other. Just the common sense says you can't. I'm not going to get into semantics of the side that I fall on. You all should know me well enough that you know where I fall on this. I said this years and years and years and years ago when they did things like stimulus checks. And it's like, you know, you could just wipe out some debt and then people would have more money to spend. Pretty fucking simple. But, you know, don't let these people gaslight you. Oh, pay your debts and stuff. Well, what about Tom Brady and his fucking millions of dollars in PPP loans? You're going to tell me that guy couldn't afford to weather COVID? Give me a goddamn break. He was still working through COVID, for God's sake. The NFL didn't miss a season. And he sells products, and he sells avocado sheets or whatever the bullshit he has is. Guy didn't lose any money. Give me a fucking break. Not to mention, as we've talked before, the predatory side of student loans. And I've seen people, oh, well, it's, you know, if you get a car loan, you got to pay it back. Well, it's like, yeah, but you know what? With a car loan, you go through with a credit check, proof of income, all these other things. With a loan for college, you could be fucking 17, send them your social security number, and they're like, oh, sure, here's 30 grand. Oh, and that's going to end up being, you're going to end up paying back 120 grand by the time you're done with this. Well, that's a huge difference between that and a car loan or a mortgage, whatever it might be. Huge difference. That's predatory. Common sense, people. All right, this one I thoroughly enjoyed. I know a lot of our listeners don't necessarily follow sports, namely the NBA. But the NBA, just to give you a little background, they have this thing, they do these city edition jerseys. Some of them are really cool. You know, they're just alternate jerseys. You know, you've seen, even if you don't follow sports, you've seen, you know, a Lakers jersey or a Bulls jersey. Or Michael Jordan was a Knicks jersey, whatever it might be. So they change it up a little bit, and they make slightly different jerseys. Well, we got a team in, Jesus, excuse me. I'm not going to edit out the, I'm sorry, Wall fans, I don't have the patience for that, but my voice is not 100%. But we have a professional basketball team down there in Charlotte called the Charlotte Hornets, actually owned by Michael Jordan. They unveiled their city edition jersey. And I saw this and I was like, no, 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 no. No way this is real. Somebody is trolling. Turns out it was real. And you could buy this. And like, part of me wanted to buy it just for the podcast, but I was like, I'm not spending $100 on a jersey for an hour-long episode because I'm not going to wear the jersey around. The Charlotte Hornets thought it'd be a good idea to have a jersey with just three letters on the front. I guess shortening Charlotte to C-L-T. So do with that what you will, Wall fans, because the rest of the internet did with that what they will, and I was... it was an immediate, obvious response. I was laughing for like a half a day, but then I'm sitting there because I've worked for large studios. I've worked with agencies, media buyers, everything else. Some of the biggest agencies on the face of the earth. I've worked with Ogilvy for a long time. Ogilvy's been around since before I was alive. It's one of the biggest agencies in the world. There is so much that goes into the approval process for anything that comes out for any kind of company. And I'm astounded because my hope is that there's some designer that was like, and they're just pushing it. They're like, let's see if I can get this one through the higher ups. And somehow they fucking did. Because who looks at that and goes, oh, yeah, it's a great jersey design. It blew my mind. I can't even stop laughing talking about it. It's utterly ridiculous. So pick up your Charlotte City Edition jersey if you're interested in it. Well, there's another word for that jersey that I'm not going to say on here. I know I drop a lot of F-bombs, but we're not going to get into detail on that. Do with that what you will. All right, Black Friday. Oh, man, we're 2 days away from Black Friday. Here's your annual disclaimer on Black Friday. Don't be sheep. These are companies essentially trying to goad you into buying extra stuff. A lot of times it's stuff you don't need, and they make you think you're getting this incredible deal. You know, Amazon's a big culprit of Amazon's been sending me emails for 2 weeks and early Black Friday and blah, 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 blah. I'm like, I don't care. And the funny thing, Amazon is an example. They'll have some Black Friday deals. Amazon Day deals are usually better. A lot of people like to buy a television on Black Friday because, the television deals and everything else. With a quick Google fact check, you will find that TVs are actually cheaper toward the end of January, beginning of February. They put large televisions on a much bigger sale at that time. So don't get sucked into these things. I'm not going to say don't shop at all on Black Friday. My family doesn't really shop once in a while if there's a crazy deal. Like I'll tell you, a few years ago, we got a new Christmas tree. So we did get it from Target on Black Friday, but what happened, we ordered it online, drove to Target, picked it up, didn't have to deal with fighting people and all this other stuff, pushing and trying to get the exact... It's not worth it. It's not worth spending your Thanksgiving evening waiting in line, you know? And shout out to my buddy Mikey, who used to go, and he would do it, but what he would do is make a bunch of hot chocolate, go to the local Walmart there in Poway, and sell hot chocolate to all the sheep standing in line to go and get a toaster or whatever at Walmart on Black Friday. And if you're going to do anything... Support small businesses at that time. That is the one thing. I don't do any Black Friday shopping. I do tend to support some of the smaller businesses, especially the bands and merch websites. They will have some good deals, and then they're going to appreciate it much, much more than an Amazon or a Walmart or a Target. So keep that in mind. And especially on Saturday, Small Business Saturday. And nobody quote me on this, but I believe if you have an Amex, you get some extra deals on Small Business Saturday, like some extra cash back or something like that. I forget every year, and then I look. I'm like, oh, yeah, make sure we're using the Amex. On Saturday, we got a lot of small businesses we support in my neighborhood, which is great. All right, one more thing here on Common Sense. Orange Menace, you've all heard it. He has announced he is running for president again in 2024. Y'all remember 2 years ago when he said if he lost the presidential election, we would never hear from him again? Well, in the words of Maury Povich, that was a lie. Because he has not shut the fuck up since. He's having rallies. He's getting in trouble. All this bullshit. And it's amazing to me that he's literally being indicted for stuff. We know that he, at least, I will say it's a gray area. You know, it is a subjective area. But at the very least, he contributed to January 6th. Maybe it was his fault. I personally think he had a large hand in it. But even if you're like, no, it's not his fault. You have to admit that he encouraged it. He was on one side and not the other. And we're letting this guy run for president again. So we got at least two more years of this asshat, the Orange Menace. And let's not put up with it. Let's just not. The good thing is I've seen people in the Republican Party are like, oh God, we got to deal with this orange guy again. So hopefully he does not get elected to the highest office in the land, but didn't think he would in 16. Here we are, fucking 2022. All right, let's talk some entertainment news. We're going to wrap it up. I got to go start getting my house ready. I got to get tables and chairs. It's madness in my house, man. The O'Rourke house is just like, it's just crazy. from Halloween through the end of Christmas, madness in my house. Entertainment news, World Cup and Budweiser. I mentioned this before. I am not watching the World Cup. I thoroughly and usually enjoy the World Cup. I'm not going to support a country that won't even let you carry a rainbow flag. For those of you not familiar, Qatar has said that literally any unmarried couples who are, and I don't know how you catch them, but caught having intercourse in Qatar will be arrested. Now, for those of you that don't follow a lot of sports, World Cup and especially the Olympics, the Olympic Village is basically an orgy. Just talk to somebody, anybody's been in the Olympics. I'm not saying everybody's doing it, but well, there's a lot of hooking up in the Olympic Village. I imagine there's some for the World Cup, too. You can't be doing that. No same-sex couples are allowed, like two guys holding hands. They'd get arrested in Qatar. Literally. They are censoring media coverage in Qatar. There's no reason. And they moved the World Cup, which is usually in summer, they moved it to November and December because the weather in Qatar is not conducive to playing in the summer. They've completely moved the tournament. FIFA is probably the most corrupt sports organization in the entire world. Qatar, there's no reason we should be bringing all these athletes there and giving them money and revenue from this. In fact, the reason I bring up Budweiser is because Budweiser is like the official beer sponsor of the World Cup. And originally, Qatar said that because you can't drink in Qatar, like you can drink at hotel lobby bars. That's the only place in Qatar you can really drink. They don't have bars like around the streets. They said, oh, no, it's okay. We're going to have fan zones around the stadiums, and in the stadiums, you'll be able to buy beer during the games. Like 2 days before the World Cup started, Qatar said, you know what? We're not going to do that. Wait, what? We're like 2 days away. Well, so Budweiser, they literally had all of the World Cup beer in a warehouse. So what they're doing is they posted this. They said, whichever country wins the World Cup, we're giving them all this beer. Now, it's Budweiser, so it's flavored water, in my opinion, but it's still something. And shame on FIFA and Qatar. Like, this, it's really embarrassing. That's why I'm not watching any of it. The U.S. was on the other day. I didn't watch any. Now, to be fair, I have seen some scores. Like, I'm not like, it's not happening. I'm just like, I'm not going to watch it. I'm not going to support this. Poland played the other day. I didn't watch that. I just, no. I'm not even going to, that's for different reasons. I'm not going to hang my Poland flag at my house, which I, you know, I would be doing during the World Cup, except that they're in the same group as Mexico. And I'm like, yeah, so when they're playing Mexico, I don't want to. I live in a very Mexican neighborhood, and it would be fine, but I just don't want to, like, oh, Poland sucks. I'm like, yeah, no, Mexico's a much better team, but, you know, I'm Polish. So it's not that I'm, like, worried about it. It's just like, I don't want to argue with the neighbors about this right now. Oh, but it's unbelievable to me. Don't support this shit. Corrupt organization that is FIFA. All right, some good news out of entertainment world. This is funny. I talk so much smack about Disney. So much. You know, they're a very greedy company. They're not this family-friendly, care-about-our-employees company, blah, 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 blah. I've spoken about it for years. I worked there for 8 years. I know from the inside. But we did get some good news out of Disney on Sunday, and it's really funny because it happened like that. It was so quick. I'm out at a show. I'm in Pomona, and I get a text from my wife, and she's like, oh, my God. And then, like, all of us are kind of looking at, oh, my God, look, my feed is like... What happened was they ousted the CEO that's been there 2 years or whatever, Bob Chapek, and they brought back in Bob Iger. Now, as much as I have talked, said bad things about Disney and everything else, Bob Iger was a fantastic leader for that company. I have met him multiple times. He's a very smart, honest person to the extent that you can be when you're the CEO of one of the largest companies in the world. So I think this is a good move from Disney's standpoint. I think we are going to see some changes because I know there's been a lot of frustration around the parks, certain parts of the studios and everything else, and hopefully this will kind of help to right the ship, because as much as I dislike Disney and I talk bad about them, I mean, we still need the parks, you know, we need certain content. I pay for Disney Plus, for God's sake. I watch ESPN. I mean, it's just, it's there. It's there. And the utmost respect for Iger. I didn't respect Chapek at all. I have the utmost respect for Bob Iger, and he's going to be there at least two years. And we'll see if that goes longer, because you never know. I was at Disney for 8 years, and I feel like he was leaving, was supposed to be leaving like 2 years into my 8 years, and he was there long after I left, so you never know. All right, Ticketmaster and Taylor Swift, everyone's up in arms this week because it costs you about $50,000 to get a ticket to see Taylor Swift in a giant stadium. And the same thing we talked about with Blink-182. And everyone's all up in arms. Oh, we got to fix this. And this happened with Bruce Springsteen recently, and Bruce Springsteen spoke out. And it's funny because everyone's like, oh, the Swifties, that's what they call the Taylor Swift fans. They're going to get Ticketmaster and blah, 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 blah. No, they're not. They're not. The outrage is understandable. We should be outraged. But everyone's like, oh, this is going to invoke change. No, it's not. We did this with Pearl Jam in the 90s. The 90s! I experienced it firsthand. And in fact, there was a little bit of change from that. It was when the Miley Cyrus, like Hannah Montana tour with the Jonas Brothers was happening. Those tickets were going for thousands of dollars. The little bit of change that came from that was the ticket brokers. They kind of clamped down on that. But then what happened was we ended up with this dynamic pricing that is making ticket prices just shoot through the roof. Nothing will change. We've done this before. I'd love to see it change. Nothing will change. Here's the thing, too, is they're like, monopoly, monopoly, monopoly. And it's like, you know what? Taylor Swift is a big enough name that she could just be like, fuck you. I'm not going to play these venues that are owned by Ticketmaster. She has the power to do that. So while I understand she's a little bit upset, Mark Hoppus was upset, Bruce Springsteen was upset, Pearl Jam was upset. You could stop it. But why aren't they stopping it? Money. Simple as that. So it's not going anywhere. It's not. All right, let's talk Punk in the Park for like 5 minutes, and then we're going to wrap it up. Probably do some more recapping next week, next episode. Not even next week. We're going to be back here Sunday, for God's sake. So Punk in the Park. Incredible weekend, as usual. I will say, I'm going to give you a couple funny stories, and then we'll probably recap some more of it next episode. So unlike last year, this year, getting in on Saturday was a bit more of a challenge. And the group I was going with, my sis Laura and others, was like, oh, we'll be fine. This was the time we went last year, and we got in there, like, just, and we got in there right as, like, the first band was playing, so I did run, but, oh, no, 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 no. It's in the middle of the mountains here, like, by a lake or whatever. And Silverado Canyon, you know, which is fine. But it's a two-lane highway going in and out. So it was about an hour and a half sitting on this two-way, maybe even 2 hours sitting on this two-lane highway. The beauty of punks is they have no shame. So we're sitting there just rolling along, barely moving. And we hit a point where I'm like, we could probably just walk. And you see people popping out of their cars, and you can tell they go running to like the bushes. And you're like, well, yeah, no, they had to go to the bathroom. Just left and right, just punks hopping out of cars like, oh, shit. Getting in the bushes. Oh, in fact, we had a couple guys walking by us on the highway, and we're two miles out from the thing. And I popped down the window. I was joking. I'm like, "You guys are gonna beat us there. We're in a car." And they're like, "Hey, if it starts moving, can we jump in?" And I was kind of like, "Hey, kids, not recommending this for kids." But there was three of us in the car and two of these guys, and we knew they were going to the festival. Like, and it turned out great. They were super nice guys. And in fact, one of the guys had a metal rod in his leg. He's like, I wouldn't have made that walk. Thank you so much for picking us up. And they paid for the $20 for parking. So it was fantastic. But we were quite late. We missed the entire beer tasting for Saturday. Still had a fantastic time on Saturday. And maybe we'll just get through Saturday. I mean, there were some great bands. The Souls played Saturday along with Bad Religion. I found myself in the pit. Oh, no, the Souls played Sunday. Bad Religion played Saturday. I found myself in the pit for Bad Religion. And it was funny because I'm standing at the back and I'm like, no, no, no. I'm just going to kind of hang. And then for those of you familiar with Bad Religion, Greg Graffin comes out and he goes and starts singing, come join us. So I said, well, if you insist, I must come join you. So I take off my backpack, hand it to Jason. I go, I'm going in. End up right at the front of the pit. Lots of fun. Tons of fun. Really just overall great weekend. And I think we'll talk about it more next episode because we've got multiple shows to recap. That's what happens when we're off for 3 weeks and we're running short on time today. So we'll get into more punk rock bowling. We're going to talk about Jesus Christ. We got to talk about that too. Punk in the Park. We'll talk about that more on the next episode. Speaking of next episode, I know it is Wednesday. You might be listening to this on Thanksgiving, but we will be back Sunday with a new episode as per usual. Back to our usual Common Sense Sundays format. Oh, and before I forget, one more thing, and then we're going to wrap up episode 129 because we haven't been in the studio. The November Basis Against Racist Design is out. It is up for pre-order. You have a week left to get it. I'll probably mention it again on Sunday, but you got a week left. The featured artist for November is none other than John Ross Bowie. You might recognize that name from shows like Big Bang Theory. He's a well-recognized character actor. And in fact, there was another show that I really loved where he played the dad, and it's much, much, much better than Big Bang Theory. But apparently he is in a punk band, and on top of that, plays bass in a punk band. And so he is November's design for Basis Against Racist, and was also running around Punk in the Park. I didn't run into him, but a bunch of people I knew were like, oh, yeah, John Ross Bowie and Will Wheaton were hanging. I was like, where? It's hard to find people at Punk in the Park. You got no service, so it's hard to find people. But as usual, that is the brainchild of the amazing Lynn Lee of Bad Cop, Bad Cop. The design, of course, is by Paul Smith of Zombie Teeth Clothing. And if you're pre-ordering that shirt in the U.S., you're going to get it through Chaos Merch. If you're pre-ordering in Canada and Europe, I believe T-Mom does Canada. In Canada, you can get either Chaos or T-Mom, but I believe the shipping is slightly better through T-Mom. But you're going to get it through T-Mom Merch if you're in Europe. So make sure you're pre-ordering through those sites. You got a week left to pick up one of those shirts. I got my October one just the other day, in fact. Maybe we'll have that on the next episode. All right, on that note, we're going to wrap up this episode of Go Tell It to the Wall. Don't forget to follow us on the social platforms, facebook.com/GoTellItToTheWall. Again, facebook.com/GoTellItToTheWall. Our official YouTube channel, which is youtube.com/GoTellItToTheWall. Subscribe and check out all our videos on there. My own personal Instagram account, which is @SoCalSean, SoCalSean. And do not forget Sean or Work Live, where you're going to find all kinds of exclusive content, links to those social platforms, as well as a link to our Patreon campaign and our merch website. So support us through those avenues if you see fit to do so. All right. This has been episode 129, kind of our annual pre-Thanksgiving episode. We will be back Sunday, same wall place, same wall time. And until then, wall fans, common sensors, podcast consumers, remember, no matter what you do, no matter who you're with, no matter where you go, and especially no matter why you are doing it, always, always use common sense.